God is good,
and all the time.
My name is John. If I haven't met you yet, I would love to meet you. And my wife, Joy, and I will be in the foyer there, the wall with all the blue gift bags, and would love just to get to say hello to you if we haven't got a chance to meet you. And I want to invite you to find your way to Genesis 12. Genesis 12, we are in our series, Beyond Me. As Nathan mentioned, we're really talking about three things beyond. We want to go beyond this year in our going and our serving and our giving. And so we're, the last 3 weeks, we've talked about those in the Bible, few characters that have gone beyond in serving. And we're kind of moving into this thought of going beyond in our going. So our theme verses for this year, 2 Corinthians 8:3-5, we've challenged you to try to memorize those verses, even try to challenge you to set your alarm either at 8:35 in the morning or the evening or both, and just take a moment and pray that God would help you go beyond in your faith and your fellowship. Going beyond in your faith means your commitment to God. Going beyond in your fellowship means your commitment to His church. And so 2 Corinthians 8:3-5 says, I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with great urgency that we should receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. And so that's our challenge for you. So if you have not picked up a devotional, there's a free devotional in the foyer back there. It's dated. And so tomorrow we'll restart again. So if you haven't got a chance to get one, grab one tomorrow on your way out today, and you can start reading on the date corresponding tomorrow. And then you'll have 5 more that you can go back and try to catch up as you go with us. You can stay on track with us that way. I want to say thank you to those who had prayed. I had an opportunity this week to fly out to Vermont to speak to a few pastors. And then I figured since I was going to be there, I might as well ski. How many of you like to ski? Snow ski, I should maybe clarify. How many of you have never gone snow skiing before? Okay, that's the majority of us. The truth is, I hadn't skied in like 10 years, and I thought, surely, it's like riding a bike. Yeah? Hey, I'm all in one piece. That was good. That's good. So I had a great time. You guys thought it was cold here. I woke up Thursday morning, and it was -3 degrees with a wind chill of like -10. And I praise the Lord for Texas, all right? So beyond. Let me give a quick review. It's on your notes sheet if you're taking notes with us. The last 3 weeks, as I said, we're talking about going beyond these characters in the Bible in an area of serving. As Nathan said, we don't want you just to sit. You need to start serving. I think that's a step in your maturity in your faith. We challenge Joshua, commit to serving God based on His faithfulness to you. As we just sang about, God is faithful, and because He's faithful, that kind of highlights that in Joshua 24, verses 1 through 13. And then Joshua says, based on God's faithfulness, choose this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Our service should be out of gratitude for God's goodness to us. Moses, stop making excuses. How many of you are really good at coming up with excuses? How many of you have one of those kids that has an excuse for everything? My son never did anything wrong. It was always somebody else's fault. His mom's. No. Daniel, number 3, trust God in your trials because faithfulness leads to fruitfulness. Faithfulness leads to fruitfulness. One of the things we said last week when we looked at Daniel chapter 6 and the life of Daniel was that Daniel, we said that our faith will be tested. Our faith will be tested. How many of you have ever failed a test before? Raise your hand. Anybody ever failed a test before? How many of you are really good at failing tests? Okay. I know somebody that failed their driving test multiple times. I would tell you the story, but my wife said not to. Sorry. I got to go home now. Actually, I got to find a home now. I remember failing. Some of the younger people won't know this, but the older people in here, you guys remember the presidential fitness test? Some of you have trauma. You're like, yes. I was like the chubby kid. I can't do a pull-up. I can do pull-ups now, but I couldn't when I was in fifth grade. I failed the physical test, right? How many of you failed the physical test? Raise your hand. You make me feel better about myself, okay? Very good. Anybody ever failed a test in class? You guys want to know what my geometry semester test average was as a junior in high school? How many of you think it was higher than a 70, my test average? I've got five people that have faith in me. My test average was a 19. Why are you laughing so loud? If you know me, it shouldn't shock you. But I did pass the class. I don't know how. I showed up every morning early to try to figure it out. And I mean, 19 test average is pretty bad, but it's really bad when you were trying to cheat also. I tried everything. I can write really, really small. Never mind. I'm not going to talk about that. How about, have you ever failed a spiritual test? As we said in Daniel, your faith will be tested. Because a faith that has not been tested cannot be trusted. Anybody ever failed, you don't have to raise your hand this time, a spiritual test? Maybe it was, you ever had those days where you had a conversation with someone and you walked away and you thought, oh my word, I had the perfect opportunity to tell them how Jesus rescued me. I had the perfect opportunity to tell that person, we're raising money for students to go to camp, because when I was 17 years old, I went to youth camp and it was a nasty, dirty camp in Brownwood, Texas. But at that moment, on a metal bunk bed in the middle of the night, I woke up my student pastor and I said, today is the day that I choose to follow Jesus. And from that decision and that day, my life changed its course forever. And my eternity was secured until the day of redemption, as Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 1. And, you know, I've had those moments where I had the opportunity to have that conversation. And I walked away and I failed the test. Or maybe you've had moments of doubt, or you've been going through a struggle, you're going through something that you're afraid of, and you lacked faith. Maybe you've had opportunities in your finances to say, you know what, I'm going to trust God, and I'm going to give off the top, and I'm going to give my first fruits, and I'm going to trust that God is going to provide, and you've just failed to do that. I would say that probably everyone in the room at some point, if you've been walking with the Lord very long, you've had moments of failures. You've had moments where you felt like, hey, here's what I want you to know, that we've kind of coined this phrase at Hallmark, that we have figured out that we don't have it all figured out. Does that resonate with you? Like, we're just a bunch of people following Jesus who make mistakes. And I want to look this morning at one of the greatest heroes of the Bible, Abraham. In fact, Abraham's one of the most revered men in all of the world. The Islamic faith points to Abraham as the father of their faith. Christianity points to Abraham, and Judaism points to Abraham. He's one of the most revered men in the world. But in Genesis chapter 12, let's read his story. Let's see how faithful he was. If I didn't put it on here, I'm not sure if I thought of it before this was printed, but if you want to write down like a little title, I would say that this message is a going faith is a growing faith. I've been wrestling with whether it should be the words reversed. A growing faith is a going faith. But I think maybe it's both. I want to give you the outline this morning, and then we'll kind of walk through it. So if you're on taking notes or you have the sermon outline there, let me give you all three of these things that Abraham failed to trust God in. Number one, he failed to trust God's plan. He failed to trust God's provision. And he failed to trust God's protection. His plan, his provision, and his protection. And I think that when we look at the life of Abraham, and we in our text this morning, his name has not been changed to Abraham yet. He's just Abram. But when we look at Abram's life, we realize that maybe Abram's life parallels our life at times. That maybe in my own life, there's been moments that I've failed to trust God's plan and his provision and his protection. And the goal here this morning is not to just beat ourselves up over it. Let's learn something from it. All right, so let's look, and we're going to read the first 9 verses. And this is, again, under Abraham failed to trust God's plan. Genesis 12, verse 1. Now, the Lord had said to Abraham, if you're one that likes to highlight or take notes or underline in your Bible, you might highlight or underline that word had. I had not seen that before, but we'll get back to that, okay? Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. You shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families, you might circle all. And in you all the families of the earth. That's a big promise, isn't it? And in you, Abram, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Verse 4, so Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Then Abram took Sarah his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all the possessions they had gathered, and the people whom they had acquired in Haran. You might note that place. And they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, as far as the terebinth tree of Morah, and the Canaanites were there in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said to your descendants, I'll give you this land. And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. And he moved from there to a mountain east of Bethel. And he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. So Abram journeyed, going on still toward south. It's interesting, though, so as we are under this heading, that Abram did not trust the plan of God. What we learn from this, and I don't know if I've not noticed this, or maybe, which is maybe common to me, is I just forgot about it. How many of you have a really bad memory? I tried to tell my chemistry teacher that, but she didn't buy it, but there's something that just, as I was studying this and listening and reading this idea, that understand that God had already spoken to Abraham when we get to Genesis chapter 12. God is repeating something that he's already told him. In fact, in the New Testament, when Peter, right as he's, Stephen's about to be stoned in Acts chapter number 7, he stands before the religious leaders and he gives like this, if you want to read Acts chapter 7, it gives like this quick history of the nation of Israel. And here's what he said in Acts chapter 7 verse 2, it should be on our screen for us. He said, brethren and fathers, so he's talking to the Jewish religious people, listen, the God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, or another way to say is the Ur of Chaldea, before he dwelt in Haran. Remember what we just read in Genesis chapter 12, that he was departing from where? Haran. But Stephen is telling us that God had appeared to Abraham earlier when he was in Mesopotamia or in the Ur of Chaldees, which we often, if you've studied scriptures, like Abraham from the Ur of Chaldees. And so he is one place. God has told him to go to the Canaan, to a place I'll show you, but he has stopped halfway. He's halfway there. Start singing a song if you're like me. And said to him, get out of your country, from your relatives. There's another thing you might know. Get out of your country and from your relatives. Come to a land I will show you. He came out of the land of Chaldeans and dwelt in where? Haran. Not in Canaan where he was supposed to be going. Not where he was supposed to land. From there, when his father was dead, meaning when he left his home on the way to Canaan, he took his father with him. And what had God told him to do? Leave your family behind. But he took his father and he took his brother's son, Lot. He wasn't really walking in complete obedience. From there, when his father is dead, he moved him to his land in which you now dwell. Now, when we think about this, remember in Abram's journey right now. If you remember a few weeks ago when we studied the life of Joshua, in Joshua chapter 24, remember, he gives a quick recount of the goodness of God in Joshua 24, verses 1 through 13. In verses 2 through 3 of Joshua 24, remember what Joshua said. He said to all the people, thus says the Lord God of Israel, your fathers, including Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, dwelt on the other side of the river in the old times, and they served other gods. So when God first appears to Abraham and says, go to the land which I'll show you and leave your family behind, he's saying, leave the gods that your father serves and trust me completely. Trust my plan. Keep going until I say stop. But understand, Abram is just now learning who this God is. He's walking in faith, but not complete obedience. He's not walking in complete faith. And so he rests in Haran. I want to think about it in terms like this, though. Abram was not where he needed to be on this journey, but he also wasn't where he used to be. And I wonder if that identifies you and your walk with the Lord. You might not be where you should be, but you're not where you used to be. And so he's on a journey of discovering who this God is. Who is Jehovah, Yahweh? I've only been serving the gods of my father. As I think as a follower of Christ, let me kind of give you a few theological terms that will describe this journey. So as a follower of Jesus Christ, you may have heard the word justification. That's the moment that you gave your life to Christ. As I mentioned earlier, it's when I was 17 years old, I decided to become a follower of Jesus and give Jesus my entire life and ask him to forgive my sins and forgive me and save me. That was the moment that I was justified. I was declared not guilty. It was an instantaneous moment, forever sealed, as Ephesians said, until the day of redemption. Thank God that I didn't have to earn my salvation, and thank God I don't have to keep my salvation. He earned it, he gave it to me, and he keeps it. That's the understanding of justification. We're saved from the penalty of sin. The second word, and as we think about this word, this is kind of where Abraham, as you think about Abraham, he's growing in his journey. It's this word, sanctification. All right, sanctification is an ongoing process. It says that we're saved from the power of sin. And in Romans, it would describe that in Romans chapter 8 and verse 29, it says we're being formed into the image of Christ. So every one of you as a follower of Jesus, if you've made a decision to give your life to Christ, you've been declared not guilty, justified. Now you are in the process of sanctification, becoming more like Christ. So I might not be where I'm supposed to be, but I'm not where I used to be. If you've walked with Jesus very long, you probably understand what I'm talking about. There are some spiritual habits that now that I've been saved a while, I've grown and become more like Christ, the process of sanctification. The third one is glorification, saved from the presence of sin. And one day, when Jesus returns for all followers and we enter his presence, we will be free from sin forever. Amen. I'll be perfect finally. You could say amen to that. You'll be perfect finally. We will finally have a perfect church. It'll be Jesus' church in his presence forever. So I want you to think in that as we're talking about Abraham, and this is a journey for us as followers of Jesus to become more like Jesus. But Abram, in this early part of his journey, Abram fails to trust the plan of God. Number two, he fails to trust God's provision. Look at verse number 10. So he finally gets to Canaan. That's where we left in verse number 9. We don't know the time frame between verse 9 and number 10, but there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt to dwell there, for the famine was severe in the land. Abraham lacked faith to stay where God had placed him. Nowhere in the scriptures does it teach us that Abram in the famine decided, hey, let me talk to God about this. Understand this. If God has sent you somewhere, God will provide for you. God will guide you. God will direct you. That's what the verse last year, trust in the Lord of all your heart, lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will what? He will direct your path. He will make your path straight. He will guide. Where God calls, he guides and provides. And Abram, early in his walk with the Lord, lacks faith in God's provision. And he flees to Egypt. I'm often like Abraham. That when things aren't going quite the way I expected. You ever felt like God needs your help? Right? Maybe God doesn't quite understand the severity of the situation I'm in. Anyone ever thought that before? So Abram's no different than most of us. There's times when we lack faith in God's provision. Unfortunately, as he goes to Egypt, he's going to have fallout from this for years. Most scholars say that probably in this period of time during the famine that he went to Egypt because he lacked faith, he didn't trust the provision of God, is when they got the little servant girl named Hagar. And later, in Genesis 16, all the sin that would become because of this other decision. You know, when we make a poor decision, we have consequences for that. When we lack faith and we take matters in our own hands, although God may forgive us, he doesn't always erase the consequences, does he? And this one decision to not trust God's provision would set a whole nation against God. Trust God's provision. The third one, trust God's protection. As he fails to trust provision, he goes to Egypt, and then he has a really dumb plan. No other way to word it. Verse 11, it came to pass when he was close to the entering Egypt that he said to Sarai, his wife, indeed, I know that you are a woman of beautiful countenance. He probably should have stopped there. Right? Men, just stop. Don't tell people publicly that your wife failed tests. It's not wise. Joy, I know you're a beautiful countenance. I should have just stopped. Verse 12. Here's where it gets bad. Therefore, it will happen when the Egyptians see you that they will say, this is his wife, and they will kill me. But they will let you live. Please, he's begging, right? Please say you are my sister, that it may be well with who? Who's Abram concerned about? He's not trusting God and he's not protecting his wife. This is a double whammy, right? Please say you are my sister, that it may be well with me. Well, he does say, for your sake, so you can keep me alive, right? That's what he's thinking. And that I may live because of you. So it was when Abram came into Egypt that the Egyptians saw the woman, that she was very beautiful. The princes of Pharaoh also saw her and commended her to Pharaoh, and the woman was taken to Pharaoh's house. He treated Abram well for her sake. He had sheep, oxen, male donkeys, male female servants, female donkeys, and camels. But the Lord, verse 17. I'm thankful that even when I doubt his plan, God still protects and provides for me. But the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai and Abram's wife. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, "What is this that you have done to me? Why did you not tell me that she was your wife? Why did you say she is my sister? I might have taken her as my wife. Now, therefore, here is your wife. Take her and go your way." So Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away with his wife and all that he had. Amazingly, even his lack of faith in that God would provide and protect, God still blesses Abraham and gives him all of this cattle and blesses him even in spite of his lack of faith. Aren't you glad that God's blessings in my life aren't always dependent on my obedience? Because I'm like Abram a lot. I fail to trust God's provision and protection and his plan. You see, I don't want to, the goal of the sermon this morning is not just to point out that Abram failed all these times. We read one chapter and three times. He makes some pretty big mistakes, doesn't he? He lived in Haran, some scholars say, up to 5 years. He's been walking in disobedience. He stopped short of what God has asked him to do. He doesn't leave all his family behind. Then he gets to the land and he doesn't trust God can provide for him, so goes to Egypt. And then when he's on the way to Egypt, he doesn't trust God can protect him, and so he devises this dumb plan. And in spite of his failures, God still blesses him. But I want us to think for a moment, how did the story end with Abraham? Hebrews chapter 11. If you want to turn to Hebrews 11 or find your way there, they'll be on the screen as well. But Hebrews 11. If you're not familiar with this passage of Scripture, this is what people would know as like the hall of faith, all the heroes of the faith. Verse 8, Hebrews 11. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out of place which he received an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise, as in the foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which was foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. You see the words that it's using about Abraham and Sarah, that they were men and women of faith. Didn't seem like that in Genesis chapter 12. Look at verse number 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he received the promise, offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, "In Isaac your seed shall be called," concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in figurative sense. So in what we're reading here, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17 and 18 and 19, the events that took place that are been written about later, that Abraham had faith, that Abraham, even with his son Isaac, was willing to sacrifice his son because that's what God told him to do. But look what it says in verse number 19. How could Abraham have enough faith? What was Abraham thinking when he raised the knife to kill his son, his only son, the son of promise? What was he thinking? Look what it says in verse number 19. Concluding that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead. So in our timeline from when Genesis chapter number 12 to the events described here in Hebrews chapter 11 is roughly about 30 years, at least 30 years period. What faith does Abraham now that he didn't have 30 years ago? Abraham remembered, as we read here in Genesis chapter 12, verses 2 and 3, the blessing that God had promised, that God was going to give him land, that God was going to bless him, that God was going to make a great nation of him, that out of his family, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. And what Abraham knew now 30 years later when he's about to sacrifice his son, that if God made a promise, God will never fail. God will never fail to keep his promises. 30 years earlier, he didn't quite understand that. I think about my own life. In 1995, I graduated college and I entered full-time vocational ministry. And in the last 30 years, God has taught me a lot of things. When I was 30 years ago. Well, let's back up like 28 years ago. 28 years ago, I moved to Hallmark Church and became a student pastor here. And 30 years ago, 28 years ago, I had a lot of growing up to do. I'm glad no one yelled amen. I was waiting for that. I wasn't where I was supposed to be, but I also wasn't where I used to be. And here I am 30 years down the road. And you know what I would still say? Probably not where I'm supposed to be, but I'm not where I used to be. That God continues to grow my faith. And I would say for every person in the room this morning, if you are a follower of Jesus, that God wants to grow your faith. This idea of going beyond in our faith and our fellowship, that we can learn. I've learned over the years that God is faithful, that if God has called me to do something, God will make a way. God will provide. God will guide. God will protect. And so the step of faith, going beyond. Now that I'm 30 years down the road, doesn't seem near as scary. The fact that as a church, our goal in the next 2 years in this going beyond in our giving is that we could pay off our debt 5 to 6 years early. I don't know about you, but I don't like debt. I don't have debt in my house, and I don't want debt here. And I begin to think, what could this church do for the kingdom of God if we paid our debt off early? Do you think that Hallmark Church could do more in our community and across the world if we had $20,000 a month to spend, to invest in this community? If we could stop sending $20,000 a month to the bank, I think that would make me happy. Would it make you happy? Would it be awesome to invest in our community, in our own facility, in the ministries of that God has allowed us to use all over the world? And so when I think about this going beyond in my giving, I'm 30 years down the road now. And I think, yes, God, give me faith like Abraham. I don't want the faith Abraham had when he was young. I want the faith Abraham had when he was old. And he looked back and he saw the faithfulness of God. He's never failed me. And boy, it makes saying yes so much easier. I want to just take a side trip for a moment on this journey. Remember what I said to Mark? Genesis chapter 12, verse number 3. Let me read it for us again. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. The Lord would tell this again to Abraham in Genesis 22:18. In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you've obeyed my voice, because you've walked in faith, because you've grown in your faith. What's this blessing that God is referencing? That in Abraham, all the nations will be blessed. This promise was fulfilled in Jesus. Jesus was the promise. Jesus was the fulfillment of the promise. All the nations of the earth will be blessed through Abraham, because through Abraham's lineage would be Jesus, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the one who would come and live a sinless, perfect life so that he could be the final, spotless sacrifice, that he could offer all of us a home in heaven, forgiveness of sins. All the nations are blessed in Jesus. Let me show you a few verses. Galatians chapter 3. If you want to turn to Galatians, you can turn there, but they'll be on the screen. Galatians chapter number 3. If you kind of get lost in that Galatians, Philippians, and Colossians, and Ephesians, anybody else get lost when you're there? You can remember, go eat popcorn, all right? Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, all right? Just to let you into my head a little bit there. Galatians 3:8. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles, all right? When we come to this word Gentiles, it means the nations outside of Jewish people, the world. All the nations of the earth will be blessed through Abraham, the Gentiles. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles, the nations by faith, listen, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. Look at verse number 14. That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles. How? Let me read it again. That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles. How? Jesus is the blessing. That we might, listen, what does it say? That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. The promise to Abraham is a promise to you that Jesus will redeem you. Jesus will forgive you. Still in Galatians, look at verse 26. I'm going to read verse 26 and verse 29. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. The blessing is passed of Abraham, is passed to you. How? Through faith in Jesus. Look at verse 29. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Abraham's faith is passed to us, and we can receive the blessing if, like Abraham, we'll put our faith in the Lord. Look at verse number 24 again. For you are all, what does all mean there? You guys are so smart. It means all. You're all sons of God. How do we become sons of God? What does it say? Through faith in Christ Jesus. Here's what I want you to know this morning. Not everyone is born a child of God. Everyone is born in the image of God, created by God, but not everyone is a child of God. But everyone can be a child of God. Here's what I want you to know today. If you have not become a child of God, you've not been adopted in the family. That's what I was talking about when I was telling you I was 17 years old and I gave my life to Christ. At that moment, I said yes to God. I placed my faith in Jesus. And at that moment, I was adopted in the family of God, sealed by the Holy Spirit, forever to be with God. And if that's what you would like today, if you would like to become, if you would like to be adopted, if you'd like to become a child of God, look at the screen. You're all sons of God. How? Through faith in Christ Jesus. I want to give you three steps this morning to become a child of God. And if you would like to do that, then right where you're seated, you tell God this. It's the first step. Admit you're a sinner. In Romans, it says, all have sinned, fall short of the glory of God. I don't know about you, but that was pretty easy for me to admit. I've fallen short of the glory of God. I've messed up. So right where you're at, if you want to be adopted in the family of God, the first thing you need to do, you tell God, I admit I'm a sinner. God, I'm guilty. The second thing you need to do is to believe Jesus died for you. John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him, they will not perish, but they'll have everlasting life. Right where you're at, God, I admit I'm a sinner. God, I believe Jesus died for me. The next step, confess Jesus is Lord. Romans 10:9-10 says, if we believe in our heart, we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, we will be saved. We will become a child of God. So right now, walk through those three steps. God, admit I'm a sinner. I believe Jesus died for me, and I confess my faith in Jesus. I want to ask everybody just to close your eyes for a moment as the band makes their way to the stage. Is anyone in here this morning? I would love to celebrate, and I would love to pray for you. If this morning you made that decision to become a child of God, you took those three steps. If you took those three steps this morning, would you just put your hand up for a moment? No one's looking around. I'm just going to acknowledge it. Your hand's up. I'm not going to call you. All right, there's one. Anyone else, just put your hand up. There's another one. There's three and four, five. Anyone else? Just put your hand up. Anybody else? I want to encourage you if you made that decision. I want to affirm and reassure you that if you gave your life to the Lord today, he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. And that in that moment, you were adopted into the family of God forever. Amen to that. You're now on the journey to become more like Christ. And trust me, it is a journey. What I want to encourage you to do is to tell someone before you leave today. If you want to come out to the foyer after church and tell me, that'd be great. You want to tell someone that maybe invited you. If you want to scan the QR code and let us know, we would love to just walk in the journey with you. For the rest of us this morning, maybe like Abraham, you're not where you need to be, but you're not where you used to be. Anybody want to raise your hand and say, that's me? That's me. Just put your hand up. There's a lot of us. All right. You can put your hands down. Here's what I'm going to challenge you to do. Only you know where you're at. Only you know what God's asked you to do. Ask God to give you the faith to keep moving forward. Trusting him day by day. Every step, one at a time. And maybe when we stand in a moment, you can come forward to the altar and pray. And for those of you that may be new, in a moment we're going to stand and we're going to sing. You're welcome to stay seated and pray. You're welcome to come to the altar and pray. You're welcome to just stand and sing. It's just a time for you to respond to the Lord. But let me pray for us. Would you stand? God, I thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for your love and mercy and your grace. Lord, help us today to take the next step of faith, whether that's maybe somewhere you've called us to go, and we've been hesitant. That might just be across the street to tell our neighbor, invite him to church, or across the locker room, or across the lunch cafeteria, wherever the next step of faith is, God, that we would take it. Or maybe if it's a step of faith to serve, and maybe that's serving in our community or our school, or maybe it's serving here at church. Or maybe it's giving, Lord, that you've challenged us and you've been talking to us about it. Help us to take the next step in the faith journey. Lord, for those who made a decision today to follow you, give them the courage to tell someone. We thank you that, Lord, as they have made this decision, you have promised, you've adopted them into your family, and you've sealed them until the day of redemption, and we celebrate that. It's in the powerful, in the precious name of Jesus that we pray. We're going to sing this morning just to close out the service. Again, if you want to come forward and pray, if you want to stay seated at your seat and pray, but let's just worship together today.